Baroness Karen was soon to be forced into a married life. She loathed at the thought of being reminded by her mother. At 17, it was apparent when she overheard her mother discussing with her grandmother that she would marry one of the brothers in the Winter family. She overheard that private conversation coming down the stairs. Just as Karen stepped into the foyer, her cats, Trixie and Spuddles, started to meow. Spuddles' meow was awfully loud. He sounded like an old dying cat, but he wasn't. Karen's mother immediately heard the cats and said to her mother,
"Shh, hush, mother. That might be Karen.
Karen, is that you?" Karen tiptoed to the front entrance and didn't reply. She became so nauseated at the thought of her mother's lack of empathy and common sense. She hurried to run outside and throw up on the rose garden. She had thrown up on her mother's prized red roses. The only thing to do was to cut off the roses that were ruined and stuff them in her shirt pockets. Then she went to the door and let Trixie and Spuddles outside. She picked up both cats, one enormously overweight. As you might have guessed, that was Spuddles. But Trixie was a Persian cat that groomed herself regularly. They were coming along for the walk to listen to Karen, which was already a common thing for her and her cats to do. Karen said to Spuddles and Trixie, "I can't believe her stupidity." Spuddles meowed as if he really understood Karen. For all we know, he might have. "If she thinks that I'm going to bow down to her nonsensical idea of trapping me into an arranged marriage, she and Father have another thing coming. I have to start planning our escape. I'd rather run away than have them arrange my entire life to someone else's dowry, which is piddling minuscule next to mine. Not to mention, that's all Michael Winter would be interested in. And the passion thing." Spuddles meowed one more time. "Meow." "The other two have no idea what they want. I'd be squandering all my virtues, wasting away in bondage. They are still in the dark ages, thinking that this family has to be married to that family to maintain the pedigree. Of what? It's ridiculous to think like this." First of all, Karen had no plans to marry, ever. Second of all, she detested the family her parents were plotting with at her expense. There were three boys, and none of them appealed to her good senses. Who wanted to be stuck, married to one man, your entire life? She questioned, was it even possible? As an independent spirit, she said to her best friend, "That would be hell on earth, married to Jules Winter." She would not marry for the sake of being married. It was ridiculous. Who were they kidding? Certainly not her. Karen said to her best friends, Aubrey and Natalie, "Jules Winter is a sycophant, a fawning parasite. Yuck! To be kissed by him and much less anything else involved with the passion thing," as Aubrey, her friend, had described it. Karen's inherent and virtuous ways was to own her own business, add to her wealth, and travel the world. Riding appealed to her immensely. She imagined herself in Africa, on her own farm, with her pets, an elephant named Trixie, a giraffe family, a monkey family, a zoo, free to the locals and a charge for the tourists, riding in her spare time, and eventually being published. Those were her dreams, aspirations at 17. That night, at the dinner table, everyone was particularly quiet. Karen looked at her mother with her fierce green eyes and made her mother feel uncomfortable and guilty. Catherine was almost sure Karen had overheard the private conversation she was having with Karen's grandmother, Alda. Alda was unaware of the chill in the air.
"Oh, these are absolutely scrumptious. I always loved Brussels sprouts since I was a young girl. I add a little butter, sprinkle some brown sugar, then add the almond slivers. Just so tasty with the prime rib. I'm always famished these days," said Alda.
After dinner, it was customary to go into the living room and relax with coffee and sweet tea biscuits. Alda had baked a fresh batch earlier in the day. Catherine looked flawless with her dark brown hair worn up, wearing the dangling diamonds on her ears. Jonathan had given her for her birthday. She picked up her black silk dress, took her shoes off, folded one leg under her, and sat on the plush red wine sofa, opening her favorite book, The Chariots of Fire by Eve Nightingale. Karen went to her black piano and started playing one of her mother's favorites, pieces by Erik Satie, No Cien No. 1. While Alda dipped the sweet tea biscuits into her hot coffee, smiling away, Jonathan, Karen's father, was talking about his business as the majority owner of the train system in England. He was a superb mechanical engineer. Catherine said to Karen, "You know my favorite piece, my sweet child." Karen closed her eyes and her beautiful face swayed to the mellifluous music. She watched Karen's hands on her fingers as they danced upon the black and white keys. Karen asked,
"Do you like this, Mother? Do you like this piece, Mother?"
Catherine said, "I absolutely love it. It was one of your father's and my favorites on our first date. He took me to a piano concert and held my hand." Catherine looked adoringly at Jonathan.
"So you were in love with Father, or to be more exact, you fell in love with Father. It was your choice, to choose Father to be your husband. Is that right, Mother?"
This was turning into an inquisition for Catherine. She kept a stiff upper lip and stared at Karen fiercely. "Calm your nerves, Catherine, and swallow."
Catherine took a deep breath and said, "Yes, it was my choice, my dear child."
Alda said, "You had an enormous crush on Jonathan, and I knew that he was the one for you, Catherine."
Catherine looked at her mother and said to Alda, "Mother, you knew Jonathan's family quite well, and it was yours and Father's wish and hope that our families would merge as one."
"Well, to be honest, my dear Catherine, I think marrying your father at 17 was much too young. What does a young girl know at 17 or 18? Not even a woman. About marriage and all that it compromises of your daily life, not to mention your entire life," said Alda.
Catherine's brown eyes couldn't believe her mother was saying such a thing in front of Karen. She put her book down and walked to the fireplace and stood in front of it, trying to think of something that would put this uncomfortable discussion to rest. She turned with her wits beside her and said, "Jonathan, would you like to share a few words with us?"
"What did you say, dear?" responded Jonathan.
Catherine looked at him and said, "Weren't you listening to our conversation, our discussion, regarding Karen, your only daughter?"
"Dear, the times have changed, and Karen is excellent in math, and I think Karen should choose for herself and go on to college, which is my hope for her. I was planning to discuss this with you sooner rather than later. But we're in the subject now, and as a family, we should discuss it together. Alda, what do you think?"
Well, I think I've already said enough, said Alda.
She tried to calm her daughter's nerves with a smile. Alda was funny.
I remember when I went to the new opening of the museum on Stratton Street. I had an entourage practically breathing for me. You would have thought I was the Queen of England. When I stopped at a painting and studied it, mind you, it was immensely passionate. I looked at the painting and said, well, it wasn't quite like that for me. Remembering your father had tremendous difficulty with the clasps on my wedding dress.
Karen laughed at her grandmother, so blatantly truthful. Spottles meowed as if he was equally entertained by Alda.
Meow.
Jonathan looked at Alda and tried not to laugh while Catherine was practically having a heart attack. For Karen, this was going swimmingly, curiously well. The battle had now begun, and college was looking mighty tasty, sweeter than the sweet biscuits baked by Alda.